conditions look fearless, you can say.
Start your day the Torah way in Northwest London, Friday, 27th of Teves, 20th of January. Rabbi Mordechai Weiss, Shlita, The Secret to Salvation. This week's Torah way has been sponsored L'ilu Nishmas, Rab David ben Rab Yosef, Zichron Levrocha, on his first yard site last Wednesday.
To thank the organizers, Josh and Dudi, for giving me the opportunity to take part in this wonderful, wonderful Torah, started at the Torah Way. It's a pleasure and an honor for me to be with you in Eibishter Elfen for many, many more years to come. Rabbi Yanki now, I think the message that he just said now was that we have to try and give a good speech if we could. So I'll try my best, I can't promise, but I'll definitely try my best. This week's Parshas Vayiru starts off. The Rebbeinu Shel Olam tells Moshe Rabbeinu, Vayiru El Avraham El Yitzchak V'El Yaakov V'Kail Shakai Eshmi Hashem Loi Noi Da'ati Bohem. Rashi brings down, in the second pshat, Rashi brings down that this was a response to what Moshe Rabbeinu said in the previous parasha. Moshe Rabbeinu said, Lomu Har Yoyisu Lo'am Hazeh, and things did not get better for Klal Yisroel. You just made things worse. I went to Paris and things just became worse for the Klal Yisroel. So the Rebbeinu Shel Olam responded to Moshe Rabbeinu and he said this following Pusik V'ayir El Avraham El Yitzchak V'El Yaakov. And the Lushan, the Rashi says, Chaval al da'ovdim v'lu mishtakchim. It's such a shame for the loss of the Ovos HaKdoshim. The Ovos HaKdoshim, in many times when I showed myself to them, they never once asked me what my name is. And you, so it's a shame that the Ovos HaKdoshim have gone, because you don't live up to their level. Question is, what's Rashi trying to teach us? What's the message here? What do we have to take out from this whole thing? We know these parashis are called the parashis of Shovavim, which stands for the Rishitaivis of Shemoiz V'ayru Loi B'Shalach Yisrael Mishputim, which essentially is the parashis of Yitzias Mitzrayim, of course, of going out of Mitzrayim. These are probably one of the most important things that happened in the history of Klal Yisroel, to the point that the Pasukim bring down that there is a Chiyuv every single day, not once, but twice, once a day and once per night, to mention the story of Yitzias Mitzrayim. One has to mention it. Mishnah Berurah, in fact, has a long in Simas Samach Zayin, brings down a Shal Prima Gudim, whether this is a Chiyuv Deiraisa or Chiyuv Derabunan, but there definitely is a Chiyuv L'chol HaDayis, to mention Yitzias Mitzrayim at least twice a day. Twice a day one has to mention Yitzias Mitzrayim. It's from all the Shesh Tachiris. If you look in the back of the city, you'll see there's a list of six things one has to constantly remind himself. Yitzias Mitzrayim is definitely at the top of the list. Yitzias Mitzrayim is something that Amulek, you also have to mention, you also have to remember the story of Amulek. For that, it's enough to mention, according to some opinions, once a year. Yitzias Mitzrayim, one has to remember it at least twice a day. The question is, why is this so fundamental? Why is this so important that one has to remind himself twice a day? It's not enough to remember once. Once a year, twice a day, a person has to remind himself, why is it so important? The Gemara in Bruchas brings down in Daf Dalet, in Daf Tes, that there's a chiyuv, and it's passed in the Shulchan Aruch also, that there's a chiyuv to be masmich ke'ida the tefillah, which essentially means that the person, before he comes to daven Shemini Esrei, then he has to be first mention the ge'ida, he has to mention the Tzias Mitzrayim beforehand. That's what we do. At the end of the Parsha of Krishna, we mention the Tzias Mitzrayim, and we say in Emes Ve'minu, Emes Ve'yatziv, we say in all the bruchas that lead up to Shemini Esrei, we mention Yitzias Mitzrayim. And it's a chiyuv to the point that even by Minche, according to even by the Pasuk can bring down, if a person comes late to davening, and for some whatever reason he has to daven Shemini Esrei straight away, some Pasuk can say that you should even mention Yitzias Mitzrayim, even without mentioning the standard nisach that we have it's important to be mentioned to be masmachgir de tefillah. The Gemara says, whoever is masmachgir de tefillah, whoever mentions Yitzias Mitzrayim before davening Shmini Esrei, harai ze ben olam habu. That's what the Gemara says. Harai ze ben olam habu. He will be zeichet olam habu. That's the Gemara Bruchas. And the obvious question is, the Rabban Yoyne asked the question, Rabban in the back of the Gemara Bruchas asked the question, why is it? Why is such a fundamental thing, such an important thing? If you were masmachgir de tefillah before Shmini Esrei, you mention Yitzias Mitzrayim, you will be zeichet olam habu. So simple. A simple, easy ticket to Olam Haba, all you have to do is have to be a masmachgir de tefillah. What's the meaning of all of this? I'd like to share with you today, Be'ezus Hashem, a moirid gevot, and I must say, probably one of the most powerful things I've ever seen in my life is this vote that I'm going to share with you today, Be'ezus Hashem. This is a vote that was mentioned. It's brought down in a cipher called Cipher Hu'ikrim. Cipher Hu'ikrim essentially means the cipher of the fundamentals. Fundamentals, Cipher Hu'ikrim. This is written by one of the Rishonim. His name was Rabbi Yosef Albor. Rabbi Yosef Albor, he lived in northeastern Spain in the late 14th century in a place called Aragon, Zaragoza. It's the places where it's the medieval Spain, I don't think exist these places nowadays. It's somewhere in the medieval Spain. That's where he lived. He's one of the Rishonim. And he says one of the most powerful things I've ever seen. He's got two volumes now, they've reprinted the two volumes. It's brought down at the end of the second volume. It's in Peirik Mem Zayin, Peirik Mem Ches, Peirik Mem Tes. To the point that I would suggest, for those who have time, I think it could be well worth relearning these two or three shtiklef every single day. It's just to keep yourself on track. I've shared this with a number of people, and they've all said that this has changed the life for them. He says the following thing. He says, most of us in Klal Yisroel are waiting for some sort of salvation or another. Everyone has something that they need, and if they don't need a salvation, then they know a close family member or a close friend who's waiting for some sort of salvation. So he says he'll teach us the secret of how to be zeichet for salvation. That's what the Sefer Ikrim says. And he goes on, and the message he says is as follows. Whenever a person is waiting for a salvation, he has to know for 100% that the salvation is there, waiting to come down. It's there in front of him, waiting to come down. And all the person has to do is create the vessel in what that the salvation to be able to come down. What is this vessel that the person has to create? And if he creates that vessel, Zuk the Sefer Ikrim, he's guaranteed that he will get the salvation. Zuk the Sefer Ikrim. The vessel is something that we call nowadays bituchen, but what he says is it means to have a full 100% hope and belief that the salvation will come. And if he believes 100% the salvation will come, Zuk the Sefer Ikrim, that is the vessel which guarantees him that the salvation will come. But he says, here's the problem. He says there's two things that keep the person back from honestly, truly believing 100% the salvation will come. He says the first thing is, because usually it's something which is against the nature. It's something which doesn't fit with the nature. The nature, the world we live, the world of nature, predicts one thing, and he is waiting for something which is against the nature. So the obvious thing would be, the fact is the person lives in the world of nature. The person lives in the world of nature, this seems to be impossible. So the person can't wrap his brain around that this thing will happen because it just doesn't seem to be possible because according to the rules of nature, according to the statistics, this thing will not happen. That's the first problem. And the second problem that we hear from many, many people is that the person feels, I am not worthy. Who says I'm worthy? If I would be a tzaddik, I would be worthy. Why should I be more worthy? I know so many other people, friends, chabid v'chaz, other people that we're not zeichet to our salvation. Why should Hashem only make the salvation to me? Why am I better than all the other people who are not zeichet to salvation? Why should Hashem do it to me? These are the two things which cause the person to stop believing, and he can't really honestly believe that the salvation will come for one of these two reasons. Either because he doesn't believe it's possible, or because he doesn't believe that he is worthy for it. Look, the Sefer Ikrim, both of these things are sheker. Both of these things are lies. It's not true. He says, the first thing, believing nature, is something which is the Hashem, the Apulim, Hashem Dovah. Rabbi Shlomo told Avraham Avinu, told Amtsuri Yemaini, Could I not create that you should have a child after 100 years? Hayipudam Hashem Dova. Nothing is impossible. The same Rabbeinu Shlalem who runs the world, who created the world, who sustains the world, he's the one who gives panusa for 8 billion people a day. He can't give you panusa. There's so many hundreds and thousands of millions of people who become better every day from all various illnesses. He can't make you better. There's 185,000 new babies born a year. Could he not give you a child? Could he not give you a baby? This is something which is Hayipudam Hashem Dova. And Shteit in Dr. Tzayfri Ikrim, as long as the person doesn't honestly believe that the Rebbeinu Shlalem could do this, the Rebbeinu Shlalem will not do this. The Rebbeinu Shlalem does not send miracles to someone who doesn't believe in miracles. Impossible. It's only once it's possible. Sometimes Hashem maybe will send a miracle to someone who doesn't believe in it, but usually he doesn't do it. Very rarely does he do it. But if the person believes 100% the Rebbeinu Shlalem could do miracles, then miracles happen. This I once heard from Udom Gudel. He suggests that whenever a person is waiting for one sort of salvation or another, and he doesn't think that it's possible, he said he should lock himself into a room, and he should repeat 300 times to himself, 300 times, Hayipulem Hashem Dova, is it impossible? Ein Ma'atzor B'yudam Elihashiyad, nothing could stop the Rebbeinu Shlalem from helping us by Mberah, by B'ma'at. Nothing is impossible for the Rebbeinu Shlalem. Repeat it to yourself again and again and again, 300 times until you knock it into your head, until you start believing in it, because you have to sometimes repeat it again and again until you honestly believe it. That's the first point. The second point, the person believes, I am not worthy for it. He says, well, that's one of the biggest mistakes, he says. When the Rebbeinu Shlalem sends us salvation, it has nothing to do with your mitzvahs. Absolutely nothing to do with it. You could be the biggest balabayre, the Rebbeinu Shlalem could send you. When the Rebbeinu Shlalem sends us salvation, it's purely because of his chesed. Purely because he wants to do chesed. That's the only reason. And he says, even if the person did a tremendous amount of a virus, he says a very powerful line. He says, however powerful your virus are, the power of the Rebbeinu Shlalem is even greater than that. The power of the Rebbeinu Shlalem to forgive your avirus is even greater than the power of your avirus. So no matter how many avirus you've done in the past, the Rebbeinu Shlalem's power is even greater than that. He says, on the contrary, if a person asks Hashem to help him because of this chos, because of this merit, because of that merit, that's no good. Because no matter what you'll do, you will not be worthy for not even one of the chasudim which the Rebbeinu Shlalem does to you every single day. For not even one. Al-Achas, Ma'ulef, Elef, Alfa, Lufim, for not even one of the Chasurim, we are not worthy for anything. We are not worthy for absolutely nothing. So why should everything Hashem gives you is purely because of its chesed? So of course he could give you this also. It's one thing if everything else we deserved. Okay, so maybe this we don't deserve. But we don't deserve anything. We don't deserve anything. So everything he gives us is only because of his chesed. So why shouldn't he give us this? That's the Sefer Ikrim says, this is what the person has to remind himself, this thing, that he's going to get the salvation not because of what he's worth, not because of what he's done, not because of his merits, for one and only reason. Because the Rebbeinu Shlalem loves us and he wants to do us chesed. And that's the reason why he created the world, was for this particular reason, because he wanted to be mighty, he wanted to give us goodness. He wanted to share his goodness with us. This is the vessel. Zuk the Sefer Ikrim, if the person creates his vessel and he reminds himself of these two points, he comes to the point where he truly, honestly sees the salvation in front of his eyes. Then he's now created a vessel, and the salvation is ready to come down. Because the salvation is there all along. It's just the person has to create the vessel. This is the vessel. The Sefer Ikrim goes on to say, why is it the Chazal tell us to hope, to have betuchim? He says, we all know, if someone is waiting for something to happen and he's not able to achieve it, then all it does is it causes him anguish, it causes him agmas nefesh. So why do Chazal tell us believe and wait for salvation when it seems to be not within your reach? He says, if you would go to a person, go to him when it's night time, it's dark outside, it's cold outside, it's dark, and tell him, you know, you're not upset the fact that it's so dark now outside, look, it's a dark sky. Is he going to be upset? No, why not? Because he knows that the next morning the sun will come up. And when the sun will come up, then the sun will rise, it will become light again. But who says? Who says it will come? Who says it will come? It starts laughing in your face. Who says it will come? It's guaranteed it will come. Every single morning it comes up. Says the Sefer Ikrim, when a person knows that the sun will arise the next morning, he won't be upset. It's not within his reach. When it's nighttime, there's no way he could reach daytime. However much he's going to try to make a day, it's not going to become day. But he's not upset. It's not going to cause him any anguish. Why not? Because he knows it's going to happen. It's just a matter of time. He's 100% convinced it's going to happen. Zukta Seifer Rikim, when a person knows that the salvation is going to happen 100%, and he believes it's going to happen 100%, it's not going to cause him any anguish. Because he knows it's just a matter of time. He just has to wait till the salvation comes. Zukta Seifer Rikim, was du damir zuktin teilim. Nafshi Lashem, mi shoimrim laboike, shoimrim laboike. Shoim laboike means the people who wait for daytime. He says, my soul was the same thing whenever I waited for salvation. In my eyes, that was as if I'm waiting for daytime. Just when a person waits for daytime, he's convinced that it's going to happen, and he knows it's going to happen, and therefore he's not upset that it hasn't happened yet. The same thing with David HaMelech. In my eyes, I saw the salvation in front of my eyes. I knew guaranteed it was going to happen. And that's why it happened in the end. This is the way a person has to daven, Nafshi L'Shem Rishomrim L'Boike. Shomrim L'Boike. Look, the Sefer Rikim, he goes on to say, he says, do you know what the biggest shvach a person could give the Rebbein Shloilem? He says, to have betuchen. He says, that's the biggest compliment you're giving the Rebbein Shloilem. Because when the person has betuchen, and especially when it's something which seems to be against the nature, then essentially what he's saying is that the Rebbein Shloilem is stronger than nature. That's what he's bringing out. Tani Oiz Laila Kim, he's giving strength to Rebbein Shloilem because he's now calling out and he's now making a statement that I believe that however powerful nature is, I believe that Rebbein Shloilem is even more powerful than that. Look, I am constantly hoping for a Yeshua, I'm waiting for a salvation. And with that, I am now, it said, however much a person is going to try and give shvach for the Rebbein Shloilem, this is the most powerful shvach. This is the most powerful praise that a person could give the Rebbein Shloilem is by constantly hoping and waiting for the salvation. Not to despair, not to give up. A hit from a darshan in Eretz Yisroel. His name is Rabbi Yigal Cohen. He's a Sfarashi Yid. And I don't think he was brought up in a somewhat observant family. But he says, this is a message. Many, many years ago, he was waiting for salvation, and this is the message I took along with him. And he says, it changed his life completely. He goes on to say one story after another, where he was in certain situations that he thought it was absolutely impossible to receive a salvation. And he says, every single time that happens, he locks himself into the room, and he repeats to himself 100 times, Hayipula Meshem Dovo, Rebbein Shalom could create everything, and he sees salvations against the nature. One example he gave is, he had to marry off one of his kids, he had no money to marry off his kids. But he knew Rebbein Shloilem could give him everything. He went into the room, he locked himself in, Hayipula Meshem Dovo, the Rebbein Shloilem could give him, send him all the money he needs. Liya Kesev, Liya Zvu, Rebbein Shloilem says, I own everything, I've got plenty of money, I don't need, he doesn't need our help. He says, the next morning, he looked on his bank statement, there was a transfer of 150,000 shekel into his bank account. He had no idea where it came from, he tracked it down, and he found there was a person who he somewhat knew, but he called him up and says, did you make a transfer into my account, 150,000 shekel? The fellow says, oh, you're right, did I make it to you? I was meant to make it to someone else. So he says, no problem, give me your bank details, I'll send it back to you. So this fellow thinks for a moment and says, you know what, I think you're marrying off a child, aren't you? He said, yes, you know what, if it came to you, maybe it's Minash Mayim, it's just there by you, keep it. Now, what are the chances that a person should wake up the next morning and all of a sudden find 150,000 shekel spare in his bank account? It's quite unusual for these things to happen. Rebbein Shloilem could do anything. Rebbein Shloilem could do absolutely anything. He says he opened up a koil, and he has a budget every single month. The budget is 190,000 shekel that he has to every single month give his ingilat. He says usually by the beginning of the month he hasn't got the money. He's never missed even once the deadline of paying his Yungelite on time. And what he does is many, many times he's happened that I don't know how I'm going to manage. Whenever that happens is, he locks himself into the room and he repeats to himself, I pull him Hashem Lubo. He's now building a huge building in B'nai Brak. He says, by COVID, most Kodidim closed down because they couldn't support it. He says, what do you mean? Why'd they have to close down? The Rebbein Shloilem hasn't got enough money. I've got plenty of money. Not only did it not close down, he took in another extra 40 in Galat. Another 40 Avreichim he took in during COVID and he opened up his koil. He says, do you want to know what the budget, I heard this from him this month, he said, do you want to know what the budget the last month was? 2.23 million shekel was his budget. That's the budget for the koil, the budget of building his new building. 2.2, since the beginning of this month, I didn't have a penny. But at the end of this month, 2.23 million shekel went out of my bank account this month itself. He said, how it happens? He says he's convinced that the angels are playing around with the numbers in the bank. I don't know, he just doesn't know how it's happened, but the money's always there. He says, this is what the power of honestly, truly believing that Rebbeinu Shlomo can do anything. Rebbeinu Yoine in Bruches says something very, very powerful. A person is now going to daven Shemini Esrei. He's going to start davening, he's going to ask, Refa'ein Yashem Benai Rufa, please, send me a salvation, send me a refia, send me panusa burich alayni. Does the person honestly believe that it's possible? Very, very often he believes it's just impossible. Either because it's the nature says otherwise, or because he doesn't feel he's worthy. Zukte Rebbeinu Yoine, he has to be masmach gedel tefillah. He has to remember Yetzias Mitzrayim. What was by Yetzias Mitzrayim? Yetzias Mitzrayim, if you would ask a Yid just before Yetzias Mitzrayim, are you ever going to get out of this place? He probably would tell you, impossible. It's impossible. It's like, I mean, nowadays, think of someone who's a captive in North Korea or something. Something is there for many generations. I mean, the chances of getting out of this place, it was surrounded with kishuv, with witchcraft. It was impossible for anyone to leave the country. And it was the most powerful country in the world. Mitzrayim, Egypt was the most powerful country in the world. They had all the power in the world, all the money in the world, the most richest country, the most powerful country. If you would ask for Eid, more of the chances you're going to get out of this place. Don't forget, your father's been here, your grandfather's been here, your great-grandfather. Your great-grandfather was already a slave in this country. What are the chances you're going to get out? He would say, impossible. Ben Shalem proved him wrong. Ben Shalem made Nisim, Shaloi Kadei Chateva, miracles upon miracles upon miracles, and got us out of Mitzrayim. And I'd like to add in another little point. Were the Yidden worthy for to going out of Mitzrayim? Absolutely not. The Yidden were in the Memtes Sharatim. They were in the lowest of the low, to the point that the angels asked, Haluli Baluli, we don't see any difference between Klal Yisrael and Mitzrayim. Why should they merit going out of Mitzrayim? The answer is, they don't have to be worthy. When I send a salvation, they don't have to be worthy for it. Mitzrayim proved us both of these points. Mitzrayim proved us, number one, Rebbeinu Shlomo could create miracles. Rebbeinu Shlomo could create the impossible. That's number one. And number two, Mitzrayim, the Yetzias Mitzrayim proved that we don't have to be worthy for salvation. When the Rebbeinu Shlomo is going to send the salvation, it will be because he wants to save us. Because he wants to give us his goodness. Because he wants to give us chesed. That's what the Rebbeinu Yoine. This is what one has to do before he goes to Shemini Esrei. Before he starts davening Shemini Esrei, first he has to remember Yetzias Mitzrayim, remind himself that the Rebbeinu Shlomo is a koil yochol, the Rebbeinu Shlomo could do everything. And therefore, now when you're going to start davening, it will be a completely different davening. Now it will be a davening with a real hope, with a real tikveh, and the person will honestly believe that everything is possible. Zukte, that is the person honestly does that three times a day, Zukte Rebbeinu Yoine, then there's no question he will be zoichet oilam abu. His day will be a different day. If a person lives in this world knowing the Rebbeinu Shlomo could do everything, then of course that will bring him Yerushamayim, and that will bring him to do mitzvahs, so of course he'll be zoichet oilam abu. That's what the Gemara means. The Gemara says, "Kolamas mechiede the tefillah harayz that oil ben oilam habu," because there's no question that will lead him to oilam habu. With that, we can now begin to understand why it is so important. Chazal told us twice a day to remember Yetzias Mitzrayim. Why is it so important? Chazal knew what Klal Yisrael were going to go through in Gulus. They knew that Yidden in the times of Gulus are going to go through many, many hard times. And people are going to be waiting for various different salvations. And he knew that it'll come a point where the person may begin to despair. So Rebbeinu Shlomo told us twice a day, at least twice a day, remember Yetzias Mitzrayim. Remember the message of Yetzias Mitzrayim. Remember everything is possible. Rebbeinu Shlomo could do everything. There's nothing he can't do. And also remember, you don't have to be worthy for salvations. Hashem will do it only because he wants to do it. Ken zan vos b'shat m'pusik v'ayru el avruam alitzak v'al yakif. I've seen this in the Surim, say it's slightly different, but that's more or less the same message. Rebbeinu Shlomo says, I've shown myself to Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, Bekai L'Shakai. Shakai, says in the Surim, is one of the names of the Rebbeinu Shlomo, which means Mish Oma Loilum Edai. Shakai, the word Shakai, Shaddai, Shein Daladid, is Mish Oma Loilum Edai, which basically means that the Rebbeinu Shlomo created the world with boundaries, which essentially means that Rebbeinu Shlomo very often, he doesn't reveal himself in a way which is supernatural. Usually he reveals himself in a way which is within the boundaries. He says, I've shown myself to Avram, to Yitzhak and Yaakov, B'kayil Shakai, with the name Shein Dalad Yid. I didn't show them Nisim, supernatural Nisim, but they never once questioned. They never once questioned my abilities. Look, they never asked Ma Shemeichu, because they knew and they believed that it's possible. So the Rebbeinu Shlomo was now giving to a response to Moshe Rabbeinu, why when it comes to you, you don't believe it. You don't believe in me. You ask me Ma Shemeichu, you ask me what my name is. You don't believe I'm able to do it. Why don't you learn from the Ovos HaKadoshim, Avraham, Yitzhak, and Yaakov? By them, they didn't question my ability. When I told them something would happen, I promised them something would happen, they just believed 100% it's going to happen. He says that was, Rav Shlomo was trying to teach Moshe Rabbeinu that this is what we have to do. This is what we have to take out of this thing. Whenever a person waits for a salvation, he has to remember this Yisoid. Finish off. This, about three weeks ago, Klal Yisroel were heard this bezoiche to celebrate the birth of a baby boy in Eretz Yisroel to a Yid named Reb Fishel Weinberg. Fishel Weinberg, he was zoiche after 33 years of waiting for a child, I think at the age of 55, he was zoiche to his first child. Now, Klal Yisroel were in shock, and the whole Klal Yisroel were talking about it. It was on all the news outlets. He made a shulam zoiche and a chas in the hall. That's how many people there were. There was a half an hour waiting line outside. People waited to go in to wish the person Mazel Tov. The person called Reb Fishel Weinberg. Now, the world heard about it. It happens to be that I have a family connection to this Reb Fishel Weinberg, and he actually comes to Golders Green at least usually twice a year. Reb Yankee probably will know him from Sassiv. He has a brother who lives in Sassiv. He comes at least twice a year. So I've known him for many, many years. I knew from Eretz Yisroel already. Such a special person, always with a smile on his face, always a happy person. And you can imagine what he went through. He went through absolute torture. Now, one thing which I'm going to share with you, which I know because of the family connection, know what went on. We have a mutual friend that in Eretz Yisroel. He's a very close friend of mine and also a very close friend of his. It was about, I think it was 4 or 5 years ago. My friend called me up to say that they're now a group of friends of this official Weinberger have decided that they're now going to take an Asiyah to the Mekoyim HaKadoshim. They're now going to travel to Europe to Daven. Why? He says because they were told that according to the medical world, this is their last chance to be zoicha to a child. This is not the last chance they're going to go through. They're going to do some sort of a procedure. And this is going to be the last chance, according to the medical world. If this fails, then there's no chance for them. So in order to prepare for that, they're going to travel to Europe together with him, a group of about, I think it was about 10 or 15 Yungalai together. They're going to go to Europe, and they're going to be marish oidmas, they're going to daven by the Turim Tzadikim, and they're going to definitely put a Yeshi. And they went there, I think they were Remezhvish for Shabbos. I remember him calling me up afterwards to say that the Shabbos, they were on a high, and they were mamash, they davened, and they beseeched, and they begged Hashem to send the salvation to this official Weinberg. He says they came back from Eretz Yisroel, from Europe, they came back to Eretz Yisroel, that was about 5 years ago, and he did this treatment. And guess what happened? It failed. Nothing came out of it. A normal person in that situation would have 100% given up. According to the medical world, they did everything they could. It's not possible. That was the last chance. And not only that, they davened so much. To make things even worse, he went to Reb Chaim Kanievsky for a bruche. I don't know if people know, Reb Chaim Kanievsky, every word he said was mekiyem. Yetzadeh goyzeh kudosh bruchim mekayim. If he would say to a person, you're going to be zoichet to something, then it was 100% guaranteed. When he came for a bruche, very often he said it, not very often, but sometimes he would say it, he would ask the question, who says it's good for you? Now, when he said that, that meant it was trouble. That meant that the chances of it happening is almost zero. When he went the very first time to Reb Kanievsky told him that thing, says, who says it's good for you? That was his comment, he said. Now, if a normal person would hear that thing, he actually went on and he begged Reb Kanievsky for a book, and Reb Kanievsky retracted from his words, and he said, you're right, you're going to be zoicha. But that was only after, and this is something which is unusual. He never did that, never retracted. We talk about a person, he came back from this, from Europe. He did this medical procedure and it failed. He didn't give up. He said, he thought to himself, if the Rebbeinu Shlomo could create 185,000 new babies a day, he could create 140 million new babies a year, he could give me a baby also. Ha'ipulim Hashem Dovah, he gave a child to Avraham Avinu when he was 100 years old. He gave a Surya Maini when he was 90 years old. He could give me a child also. He didn't despair. In his eyes, he saw the baby in front of his eyes. It's just a matter of time. He says, it wasn't easy. So many, many times when the despair started sinking in, But whatever that happened, he had to close himself into a room and remind himself, could do everything. And again and again and again he said that, until finally he got his hope back. And then 3 weeks ago he celebrated the birth of his first child after 33 years. That is the power of B'tochen. People asked him, whose merit was it? Whose chus was it? Which tzaddik gave you the brucha? He said, I'll tell you whose merit it was the merit of the Ribbono Shel Olam. He says, it was the merit of B'tochen of Tfilah, all the Tfilah Sisrul that we asked to the Ribbono Shel Olam, the merit of B'tochen, that was what brought the salvation. And that is something that we could take out from these parashas, the parashas Yis Mitzrayim. Should the Ribbono Shel Olam help, we should remember this message of Sefer Ikrim, and all of us who are waiting for salvation should be Zoichem Etz Hashem to Yeshias, the Oif and Pruti, individual Yeshias, and Klal Yisrael together should be Zoichem to the biggest Yeshia of all, and all be Zoichem Etz Hashem to the Bias, Mashiach Tzidkaini, B'mhairi, B'mayni, Umay.
Hey, beautiful Shia.